الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah to exalt the mentioning grant peace and send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad, his companions and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the day of recompense. As to what follows, let's begin with the date. Today is the 14th of Safar, inshallah, according to my calendar at least, 1434, which corresponds to the 28th of December 2012. We are approaching New Year according to the Gregorian calendar, and I would like to take the opportunity to be the first to tell you no Happy New Year to you, because there's no such thing. But I figured I'll say it in a nice way. Anyways, the ayah number 20 of Surah Al-Ma'idah is a very interesting ayah because it speaks about some history. History of, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, Bani Israel. Huh? And what do you know about Bani Israel? You know, Bani Israel is a praiseworthy term. Jews is more befitting. Yahud. We will learn more about the Yahud in this particular ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal says, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ جَعَلَ فِيكُمْ أَنْبِيَاءَ وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكًا وَآتَاكُمْ مَا لَمْ يُؤْتِ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. And mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Moses said to his people, O my people, remember the favor of Allah upon you when He appointed among you prophets and made you possessors, meaning owners of things like kings or princes, and gave you that which He had not given anyone among the world. The Shaykh said, rahimahullah, لما امتن الله على موسى وقومه بنجاتهم من فرعون وقومه وأسرهم واستعبادهم. After Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the favor of His favor upon Musa and his people by saving them from Pharaoh and his people, the people of Pharaoh, and their enslavement of Bani Israel. ذهبوا قاصدين لأوطانهم ومساكنهم. Then they headed towards their home, their land where they reside. وهي بيت المقدس وما حواليه. And that area where they resided was Jerusalem, right? The sanctuary land over there, or the sanctuary house, and what and the area which is around, the remote area. وَقَارَبُوا وُصُولَ بَيْتَ الْمَقْدِسِ. And they had gotten close to that particular area where the sanctuary house is. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ قَدْ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ جِهَادَ عَدُوِّهِمْ لِيُخْرِجُوهُ مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. And Allah Azza wa Jal had made obligatory upon them fighting their enemies so that they may drive out their enemies from their land. And of course, this is very important in the context of da'wah and jihad. And when we speak about jihad, or you have some criticism from the Christians particularly about why Islam allows fighting and this and that, then one of the things you can do is bring to their attention the fact that the Bible is full of military verses. Full of. And they are way more severe and extreme than what you would ever find in the Quran. And so, for them to make any claim of this sort is ludicrous. Because if they were to criticize that, then they criticize in their book. And that's exactly what you say. So you have a problem with it? Yes? Then you have a problem with your book. So are you ready to change religions now? What would you like to become? A Buddhist? A Hindu? Because Christianity is not about what you want. It's about what your book says. And so you corner them. There's no escape. Or if they accept it, say, okay then, let's deal with the fact. What is the problem with people having to fight other people? You have a problem with that? Say yes. Say, okay, why don't you begin by writing a letter to the president of your country and asking him to get rid of all the weaponry and to, you know, khalas, get rid of the army and the military and everything. You don't need it. Why are you peaceful people? You love peace. Why do you have an army? Why do you join the army? Why did your father join the army? Well, to defend our land and blah, blah, blah. Okay, we defend Islam. What's your problem? Same thing. we haven't done anything new or anything extreme. In fact, when it boils down to it, we are the nicest people on the battlefield. No children are killed, no women are killed, no houses are burned. You know, if they go for peace, we go for it. It's beautiful. It's not about spilling blood. It's about the word of Allah being the most supreme. They don't have any of these standards. Nah? And they can go back to World War I and World War II just in case they forgot and see what they did to each other. And Islam had nothing to do with that. They can go back and study their own history. So if they want to, you know, talk too much, if you know your stuff, they cannot talk too much anymore. Nah? You will do the talking, they will do the listening, and they will leave the place having been straightened out by you. If you don't know and you start being apologetic and chicken out, say, oh Allah, yeah, but you know, no, there's no, Islam means peace. We love peace, we're all about peace, you know, there's no such thing in Islam, you're just a big liar, you're a big liar, they know you're a big liar. And you didn't do any da'wah, okay? You didn't do any da'wah. You just cornered yourself and you made us look bad. So keep it real, know your stuff, and life is beautiful. Sah, sah. نعم فوعظهم موسى عليه السلام وذكرهم ليقدموا على الجهاد. So Musa عليه السلام admonished them. He admonished them. And he reminded them of the rights so that they may move forward with this struggle and fight. فقال اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم. Remember the favor of Allah upon you. بقلوبكم وألسنتكم. How do you remember the favor of Allah? With your hearts and with your tongues. You recognize it internally and you say something about it. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَهَا دَاعٍ إِلَى مَحَبَّتِهِ تَعَالَى وَمُنَشِّطٌ عَلَى الْعِبَادَةِ. Remembering the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal invites the person to love Allah. And it invites the person and it gives them some strength and energy to worship Allah accordingly. When you remember the favors of Allah upon you. Which is something which we need to do more often. May Allah forgive us. إِذْ جَعَلَ فِيكُمْ أَنْبِيَاءَ يَدْعُونَكُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى وَيُحَذِّرُونَكُمْ مِنَ الرَّدَى. Among the favors of Allah is that He made among Bani Israel prophets. He sent among them prophets. What do the prophets do? They remind them or they invite them to guidance and they warn them against destruction. Naam, rada is to fall back. That's why they say something is radi. Radi meaning low quality. It's bad. Something just has to do with going backwards or low status, low profile, things of the sort. وَيَحُثُّونَكُمْ عَلَىٰ سَعَادَتِكُمُ الْأَبَدِيَّةِ. And then they strive with you or they encourage you towards your eternal bliss. Eternal bliss. وَيُعَلِّمُونَكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. And they teach you that which you knew not. Obviously, the prophets get revelation from Allah. وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكًا تَمْلِكُونَ أَمْرَكُمْ بِحَيْثُ إِنَّهُ زَالَ عَنْكُمْ إِسْتِعْبَادُ عَدُوِّكُمْ لَكُمْ فَكُنْتُمْ تَمْلِكُونَ أَمْرَكُمْ. So here, you became mulukan in a sense that you possess, like the translation mentioned, possessors. You possess your own affair, meaning Allah saved you from the enslavement of Fir'aun. Because when you're enslaved, you don't own your own command or your own decisions. You belong to somebody else. So Allah gave you the ability for you to make your own decision when He saved you from the enslavement of your enemy. وَتَتَمَكَّنُونَ مِنْ إِقَامَةِ دِينِكُمْ. And then you have the ability to establish your religion. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنَ النِّعَمِ الدِّينِيَّةِ وَالدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ مَا لَمْ يُؤْتِ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah has given you of both religious and worldly bounties, that which He has not given any among the worlds. فَإِنَّهُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ الزَّمَانِ خِيرَةُ الْخَلْقِ وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Back then, during that time, they were the best of creation and the most noble in the sight of Allah. Until what? Or until when? Back then, Bani Israel were the best of people and the finest and the most noble in the sight of Allah. Then what happened? Tayyib. Then who took over that? Who took that position from them? The Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba. The Sahaba are the best of people after the Anbiya. خير الناس قرني. تفضل.
السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام مستر لومانو.
هلا حبيبي.
The kingdom or the kings. And when we translate.
Well, see, linguistically, نعم, I did mention that as an additional meaning. Because I realize that some of you may be familiar with the term Malik, obviously. Not some of you, all of you should be. So I mentioned to you the other meaning. But according to the tafsir here, according to the Sheikh at least, what is intended here that he made them possessors. Because why is he called Malik Aslan? Malik from Yamlik, Malik Yawm al-Din, Malik Yawm al-Din, the one who owns, the sovereign. So there's a relation between the linguistic meaning and the interpretation of this particular word in this particular ayah. So according to the Shaykh, it's referring to them being responsible of their own affairs. But linguistically, نعم, mulukan is the plural of malik.
And it's coming after anbiya. Ja'alnakum anbiya. Then after muluk.
لا جعلنا لا دقيقة ما في وجعلنا فيكم أنبياء انتبه آه نعم we made all of you we made amongst you prophets and then all of you are owning your own affairs نعم طيب فإنهم نعم so we said then the صحابة became the finest of people so the صحابة of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم are better than the followers of Musa and better than the disciples of Jesus and better than the followers of any prophet. Just like the Prophet ﷺ is better than all the prophets, the Sahaba are better than all the other Sahaba of the other prophets. Ultimately, according to the text of the Prophet ﷺ, this is a very hadith. وَقَدْ أَنْعَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِنِعَمْ مَا كَانَتْ لِغَيْرِهِمْ And Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed favors upon them which belong to no one else but them. How about that? Will be nice to you today. Yes. فذكرهم بالنعم الدينية والدنيوية فذكرهم بالنعم الدينية والدنيوية الداعي ذلك لإيمانهم وثباته وثباتهم على الجهاد وإقدامهم عليه. So Allah mentioned then His worldly and His religious favors upon them, which it calls them for them to have faith and to be firm, and then this will be means for them to also be steadfast in their struggle and to move forward and march on with that struggle of theirs against their enemies. ولهذا قال. That's why ayah 21 says, يا قوم ادخلوا الأرض المقدسة التي كتب الله لكم ولا ترتدوا على أدباركم فتنقلبوا خاسرين. O my people, enter the holy land which Allah has assigned to you. And do not turn back from fighting in Allah's cause between brackets or parentheses, and thus become losers. Now the Shaykh said, وَلِهَذَا قَالْ يَا قَوْمِ دُخُلُوا الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةِ All my people, enter the holy land. Now of course, remember we discussed the term holy and the problems with the term holy. But inshallah, since we're all Muslims here, in this particular context, there's no harm in using this particular term. Because we're speaking about the land. And no one will think that the land is an object of worship. So you could say sacred, that would be a suitable substitute for the term holy. I personally prefer most of these other terms versus holy. Holy, the only time I feel confident saying it is when we speak about Allah. Al-Malik al-Quddus, as-salam, Quddus, holy. Anything other than that, في النفسي شيء. From this term, because of its connotation in Christianity, Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Ghost, and the list goes on. Holy brings you trouble. It's supposed to be holy. No, never mind. It's an internal joke between me, myself, and I. Next time I just won't say it. طيب. أي المطهرة التي كتب الله لكم. نعم. So enter that. مقدسة means مطهرة. It's like purified. Which Allah has written for you. فأخبرهم خبرا تطمئن به أنفسهم إن كانوا مؤمنين مصدقين بخبر الله. So he gave them a piece of information which they're supposed to find tranquility and peace of mind in by telling them if they believe truly in the promise of Allah. Allah said, Allah has written this land for you. You're only going back to what Allah has given you initially. So what is your issue? If Allah gave you this land, so you should have a peace of mind that you're not getting it wrongfully. You're not oppressing anyone. You're getting what Allah wants you to have. وأنه قد كتب الله لهم دخولها وانتصارهم على وانتصارهم على عدوهم. Allah has already decreed, written for them, if they were to follow the instructions, that is, that they will enter and that they will be victorious against their enemies. ولا ترتدوا أي ترجعوا. Do not then return, go back. على أدباركم فتنقلبوا خاسرين. Back on your heels, so you wind up losers. قد خسرتم دنياكم بما فاتكم من النصر على الأعداء. Then you would have lost the worldly gain due to your victory over your enemies. وفتح بلادكم. And then you also miss out on conquering your own land. وآخرتكم بما فاتكم من الثواب وما استحققتم بمعصيتكم من العقاب. And then you will miss out on, in regards to the life to come, on the reward which was supposed to be yours, and you also will be given the punishment due for your violation. So ayah 22 says, قالوا يا موسى إن فيها قوما جبارين وَإِنَّا لَن نَدْخُلَهَا حَتَّى يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا فَإِنْ يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا فَإِنَّا دَاخِلُونَ. Now listen to the Bani Israel. عجيب. عجيب. They said, O Moses, indeed within it is a people of tyrannical strength. And indeed we will never enter it until they leave it. But if they leave it, then we will enter. فقالوا قولا يدل على ضعف قلوبهم وخور نفوسهم وعدم اهتمامهم بأمر الله ورسوله. So they said a statement which suggests or is indicates the weakness of their hearts, the lowliness of their of themselves, and their lack of concern towards the command of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. موسى عليه السلام. يا موسى إن فيها قوما جبارين. Verily there are some people of, you know, tyranny and strength and problems. شديدي القوة والشجاعة. Very, very strong. Very brave. أي فهذا من الموانع لنا من دخولها. This is a preventive reason. It's preventing us from going inside. وإن لن ندخلها حتى يخرجوا منها. We will not enter until they go out. And if they go out, then we will enter. وهذا من الجبن وقلة اليقين. And this is a sign of cowardness and lack of certainty. وإلا فلو كان معهم رشدهم. Otherwise, had they had their sound reasoning and guidance with them, لعلموا أنهم كلهم من بني آدم. They would have known that they're all the children of Adam. At the end of the day, they're all the children of Adam. وأن القوي من أعانه الله بقوة من عنده. And the real strong person is the one whom Allah has provided with strength from him. The one whom Allah gives strength. فإنه لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There's no way and there's no power and strength except the one which is provided by Allah عز وجل. وَلَعَلِمُوا أَنَّهُمْ سَيُنصَرُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِذْ وَعَدَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِذَلِكَ وَعْدًا خَاصًا. They would have also known that they would have been victorious because Allah has given them His special promise that they would be victorious. Ayah 23 tells us, قَالَ رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا أُدْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَابَ فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوهُ فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. The ayah says, said two men from those who fear to disobey upon whom Allah has had bestowed favor, enter upon them through the gate. For when you have entered it, you will be predominant. And upon Allah rely if you should be believers. قال رجلان من الذين يخافون الله. يخافون الله تعالى. The Shaykh added, love Allah تعالى. So two from among those who feared Allah said, مشجعين لقومهم. They said this as means of encouraging their own people. منهضين لهم على قتال عدوهم واحتلال بلادهم. And trying to ascend their spirit to fight their enemy and to conquer their land. أنعم الله عليهما بالتوفيق وكلمة الحق في هذا الموطن المحتاج إلى مثل كلامهم. What is the favor of Allah upon them is that He gave him success and the ability to say a word of truth in this position, in this very difficult predicament, wherein such words of truth are needed. وَأَنْعَمْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالْيَقِينَ Allah has also bestowed upon them the favor of patience and certainty. أُدْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَابَ فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوهُ فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ Enter upon them, and if you were to enter upon them, then you are definitely, most definitely, no doubt, you would be victorious. أَلَيْسَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ نَصْرِكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا أَن تَجْزِمُوا عَلَيْهِمْ وَتَدْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَابِ All you have to do, the only thing that is preventing you from victory is that you make up your mind and you go through the door. That's it. Go through the door, Allah will give you victory. فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوهُ عَلَيْهِمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ سَيُهْزَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ سَيَنْهَزِمُونَ عَفْوًا So if you enter upon them, they will be defeated. ثم أمرهم بعدة هي أقوى العدد. Then they commanded them with a provision which is considered among the best of means and things which you prepare.
فقال وعلى الله فتوكلوا إن كنتم مؤمنين.
Upon Allah rely if you are truly believers. فإن في التوكل على الله وخصوصا في هذا الموطن تيسيرا للأمر ونصرا على الأعداء. Really relying upon Allah, and specifically in such situations, in that there is facilitation of the affair and victory over the enemies. ودل هذا على وجوب التوكل, and there is an evidence in that for the obligation of relying upon Allah. وعلى أنه بحسب إيمان العبد يكون توكله, and that proportional to the belief, the strength of belief of the slave would be his certainty. That's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he would, before the battle with the Tatar, and you know, they were inferior in many ways to the Tatar. He told them, we would be victorious. They would say, inshallah, say inshallah. He would say, I say inshallah, just as means of you know, obeying Allah, as in the Quran. Not because I doubt. It's not the insha'Allah of doubt. It's the insha'Allah of tahqiqan, meaning inevitably with Allah's will we will be victorious. That was the iman of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and of course he gave his famous fatwa that they should break their fast, and just like the Prophet ﷺ did. And you know, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is not your average man. Is not your average man. Alayhi rahmatullah. And he's a classic example for the ummah 700 some years or 600 some years after the Prophet alayhi salam and after the Sahaba, for someone of this caliber to exist in the Muslim ummah is a privilege for us, wallah. It's a privilege for us. And the one who doesn't like Ibn Taymiyyah must be as lunatic as a clown, or as ignorant as a doorbell. And there's no nothing in between. Either someone doesn't know Ibn Taymiyyah, and so he's been brainwashed by some Sufis or some of these deviant people who say that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah was this and Wahhabi. He was Wahhabi. Look, Shaykh Muhammad bin Wahhab came a couple hundred years ago, and Ibn Taymiyyah was 700. How could he be Wahhabi when he was before Muhammad bin Wahhab? Yeah, Jama'at al-Khair. Where's your brain? Huh?
Shaykh Abdul Wahhab is a student of...
Not his student, his students of his books, just like we are the students of his books. There was a huge time between it. Ibn Taymiyyah was in the 600 towards 700 years after Hijrah, and Shaykh Muhammad was 200 years ago. Huge gap, he wasn't a student, but he learned his books. The bottom line is, some people so wrongfully speak ill about Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And so they may be excused because of their jahl. They only heard some rumors about the Shaykh, you know, and so they believe that. Or if someone knows Islam and doesn't like the Shaykh, something is wrong with his deen. Something is wrong with his deen. Just like the Prophet ﷺ said, that loving the Ansar is a sign of Iman. And hating the Ansar is a sign of hypocrisy. You cannot hate the Ansar. You cannot hate the righteous people. You know, it's impossible. Because Allah made it that the righteous people are loved by the people. That's the way of Allah. Evil people love evil people, righteous people love righteous people. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ Verily those who believe in the righteous deeds, Allah shall place and make love for them. And the hadith of Jibreel, you all know that Allah, if He loves a slave, He calls Jibreel, and He tells him that He loves him, then Jibreel will call on the malaika, then Allah will put acceptance for this person on earth. This is the way of Allah, Azza wa Jalla. For someone to hate the wali of Allah, which we assume Shaykh Al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah was one of them, he has a problem. Or he's ignorant. But we have to know who he was, rahmatullah alayhi, and educate the people about this fine man of this ummah. Al-Muhim, not to go off the subject, ayah number 24 reads, Naam. So they continued, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَىٰ إِنَّا لَن نَدْخُلَهَا أَبَدًا يَا لَطِيف يَا رَبْ أَبَدًا مَا دَامُوا فِيهَا فَاذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَا هُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. عجيب والله العظيم. يعني you wanna shiver from the statement of Bani Israel. Listen, I don't know how I'm going to translate this for you. Check this out, man. They said, oh Moses, indeed we will not enter it ever. As long as they are within it, so go you and your Lord and fight. Indeed, we are remaining right here. Hajib, ya Sheikh. Now, of course, we had this event reoccur at the time of the Sahaba. And what did the Sahaba say? They said the opposite. They say, we will not say like they said. Huh? We will not say, no, we will go and fight with you. So, Bani Israel, man, what do you know about that, man?
We know from the cow.
From the time of the Baqarah, yes.
Baqarah.
What? Tell us the description of the cow. And tell us this, and they kept going and going. Bilkat, they barely slaughtered it. They barely slaughtered it. Subhanallah. Allah musta'an, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib. Now the Shaykh said, فَلَمْ يَنْجَعْ فِيهِمْ هَذَا الْكَلَامِ. Maybe some of you haven't heard this term before. Huh? يَنْجَعْ. Especially those who are learning Arabic. Have you ever come across يَنْجَعْ? You have? يَنْجَعْ. انتبه يا فضيلة الشيخ. آه ها. مسكتك. ها بستنيرة. ما في عربي؟
ما في عربي.
مكسر بس. مكسرات. فستق وليمون. ينجع. Is close to yanjah actually. Yanjah meaning benefit. لم ينجع معه الكلام. It was of no benefit. No avail, as they say. فلم ينجع فيهم هذا الكلام. There was no benefit in this speech of Musa عليه السلام. ولا نفع فيهم الملام أو الملام. Nor did the blame benefit them or affect them. He was blaming them, blameworthy. They were blameworthy, and he was blaming them, reprimanding them for their actions. فقالوا قول الأذلين. So they said the statement of the lowly. يا موسى إن لن ندخلها أبدا ما داموا فيها. We will never enter it as long as they're in. فذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنها هنا قاعدون. You and your Lord go and fight. We will just wait right here for you. فما أشنع هذا الكلام منهم. The Sheikh said, how abhorrent is this speech of theirs? How abhorrent is that for the, to come from them? ومواجهتهم لنبيهم فيه في هذا المقام الحرج الضيق. And the fact that they even had the audacity to say that to their prophet at this very difficult situation. يعني the timing, it's a critical time, and they're about to enter the land, and they're being given a command, and at the very crucial time they give them this lame expression. التي قد دعت الحاجة والضرورة إلى نصرة نبيهم وعزاز أنفسهم. And the time and the situation required of them to aid their prophet, to support him, and to even bring honor to themselves. وبهذا وأمثاله يظهر التفاوت بين سائر الأمم وأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. With an event like this and similar ones, then you will learn the variation and the vast difference between the other nations and the nation of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. حيث قال الصحابة لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين شاورهم في القتال يوم بدر. So what they said to the Prophet ﷺ when he consulted them in regards to fighting on the day of Badr, مع أنه لم يحتم عليهم. Even though he did not make it compulsory on them, he did not say it's a must that we go. He was only consulting them عليه الصلاة والسلام, seeking advice from them. قالوا يا رسول الله لو خط بنا هذا البحر لخضناه معك. الله أكبر. Oh Messenger of Allah, if you were to take us into the ocean, we will go with you. أي ولو بلغت بنا برك الغماد ما تخلف عنك أحد. And if you were to make it to a particular location, I don't know where that location is, none of us would remain behind. وَلَا نَقُولُ كَمَا قَالَ قَوْمُ مُوسَى لِمُوسَى. And we will not say like the people of Musa said to Musa. Where was I? نعم. اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنها هنا قاعدون. You and your Lord go and fight. We will stay here. ولكن اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إن معكما مقاتلون. Rather go and fight along with your Lord, and we will be right with you. أي من بين يديك, between your hands, in front of you, ومن خلفك, and behind you, وعن يمينك وعن يسارك, on your right, on your left, full support, 100%. Now, of course, when we speak about Allah Azza wa Jal being involved in these things, it does not mean in an anthropomorphic, physical manner that Allah Azza wa Jal will descend from the Arsh subhanahu wa ta'ala and will go engage in the fighting, you know, directly. It means that Allah Azza wa Jal will aid and support and will be involved in everything with His tawfiq subhanahu wa ta'ala and His irada. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Even the very arrow which you throw, it is not you who throw, it's Allah Azza wa Jal, because Allah wills that this arrow will make it to the target and will cause, afflict, damage. Or if Allah wills, you know, nothing. If Allah wills, you throw an arrow and it will fall right on your foot. Can you ensure and guarantee that gravity and all the other elements of nature, which you did not create, will function properly? Do you have any control? No. Now Allah made it the al-sunnah al-kawniyah. It's a universal method of things that when you do something, something will happen. But if Allah wills, it will not. Who can give us an example? When the norm is no longer effective because of Allah, Allah's command. Yes, sir.
The Prophet, he took a handful of dust. I'm not too sure what.
Okay.
The handful of dust, but he trimmed the dust
that
Allah caused, the part of the dust to touch all the eyes.
True. The Prophet ﷺ threw some dust at the eyes of the mushrikeen and they could not see him anymore, alayhi sallam. Or that he walked by them and they couldn't see him. Or when he was with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq in the ghar, they walked by and Abu Bakr said, Ya Rasulullah, if one of them were looking, he would see our feet. Didn't see him. Or when Ibrahim, alayhi sallam, was thrown into the fire, and Allah said, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِ بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى Ibrahim. O fire, be cool and peaceful upon Ibrahim. So the fire which burns didn't burn. The fire which burns didn't burn. So who makes the fire burn? Allah. If Allah wills, the fire won't burn. So that is the understanding of Allah fighting, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that Allah is a wajah, that Allah doesn't fight. Allah defeats. Allah creates the whole thing. So don't misunderstand and don't deny either. The fact that the ayah says, you know, what the sahaba understood. اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا. So that is there as well. Na'am. So we stick to the text in whichever direction it takes us according to the aqidah of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Na'am. Na'am. فَلَمَّا رَأَ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ عُتُوَّهُمْ أو عَفْوًا آيَة 25 قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ إِلَّا نَفْسِي وَأَخِي فَافْرُقْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. He said, Oh Allah, I do not have control except over myself. Indeed, I do not possess except myself. I wouldn't use possess. I do not have control except over myself and my brothers. So part us from the defiantly disobedient people. فلما رأى موسى عليه السلام عتوهم عليه قال ربي إني لا أملك لنفسي وأخي. When Moses saw their arrogance against him and their disobedience to his command, he said, Oh Allah, I do not have any control except over myself and my brother. أي فلا يدان لنا بقتالهم ولست بجبار على هؤلاء. Meaning, I don't have the means and the power to fight an army with just myself and my brother, nor can I control these people. I cannot force them. They don't want to fight, you know. Subhanallah. فافرق بيننا وبين القوم الفاسقين. Then separate and divide between us and the defiantly disobedient people. أي احكم بيننا وبينهم بأن تنزل فيه من العقوبة ما اقتدته حكمتك. So then he said, then judge between us, as in you send down upon them a punishment due to them as per your wisdom. What they deserve? What do they deserve for what they have done? ودل ذلك على أن قولهم وفعلهم من الكبائر العظيمة الموجبة للفسق. And this is an indication that their statement and action is among the major sins which necessitates a person being a fasiq. Fasiq, a defiantly disobedient person. Because we have a asi, a disobedient person like all of us. Like all of us, we commit a sin, but then we feel bad and we feel guilty and we have some problems. And fasiq is the one who's defiantly disobedient. He's disobedient and he's arrogant and stubborn about it and prideful, and he's not willing to back down or to change or to repent. He's just stuck on it. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. That's a calamity. Huh? Fisq is not something that we should be involved in. أَسْأَلَّهُ الْعَافِيَةِ. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالِ. This is sufficient for today. And you can see here, we're going to move on to what happened to them because of that, and the 40 years which they were expected to spend. And then we will actually see an interesting event dealing with the first crime, the first murder that ever took place between the two children of Adam alayhi salam, and the wisdom behind that in the upcoming classes. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.